Welcome back. Right, I'm going to start with something light-hearted and funny that I read because it might actually relieve my nerves. Right, there was a man who died. I know it's not funny, but, you know. A man died and he got to the pearly gates and St. Peter was waiting there. And St. Peter said, okay, this is how it works. You need 100 points to get in. So the guy says, oh, okay. He said, well, I've been married to a woman, the same woman for 50 years. I've been faithful. I've loved her. I've cherished her. St. Peter said, well done. He said, you get 2 points for that. He said, 2 points? He said, yeah. He said, okay. I've been to church for nearly 30 years, he said, nearly every Sunday without fail. I've served the community. St. Peter said, well done. He said, you get a point for that. A point? He said, yeah. Okay, he said, let me think. I know, I started a soup kitchen. I fed the homeless. I fed the hungry. St. Peter said, that's brilliant. That is amazing. I think that deserves another 2 points. And the guy said, you've got to be kidding at this rate. The only way I'm going to get in is from the grace of God. He said, bingo, 100 points. In you go. Right, do you remember when you first knew that God was real? Some of us grew up in families that were Christian, so you grew up knowing and learning about God. There were others of us, like me, who didn't. You know, I had a conversion, and I remember the time I'd been searching for God, and I hadn't quite found him. I'd kind of got in my head that there must be a God, because I'd prayed for something, and I said, please, Lord, if you exist, I need proof. And he did. He gave me proof. For those of you who don't know what that was, I was pregnant. I was losing my baby. The doctor said there's no hope. And I prayed, if there's a God, I want my baby. And I saw the baby all the way through, nearly all the way through to the end of pregnancy. And I thought, there's got to be a God, because I was told there was no hope. So I started searching. I moved back to the UK, and I went to a church, and I don't know what, well, I know now what I'd expected, but I didn't know at that point what I'd expected, and I didn't find it. And I remember going to a friend's house, and I was speaking to her about this, and I was saying, you know, I want to go to a church. And she said, well, I go to a church, come to mine. I said, yeah, that'd be great. But I remember the feeling at that moment of conviction. I remember feeling the conviction of every sin I'd ever committed. And it makes me emotional thinking about it. And I remember, and I don't remember anything else she said. I don't remember anything else that was said in that meeting. But I remember saying to her, but if there's really a God, how can I ever face him with everything I've done? Well, I did go to church. And all I can say, it was like walking home. I walked into the building. And it felt like home. It felt like there was life. It felt like there was light. And I remember thinking, there's something real. This is real. And I met the pastor. And the pastor said, have you ever accepted Jesus into your life? Have you ever prayed a prayer of repentance? And I said, no. So he led me through it. And I remember getting to the bit where he said, do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? And I said, yeah, I do. And I remember adding bits because he said, just repeat after me. And I remember adding bits and I remember saying, please, please, if you're there, please accept me. And I can remember crying and saying to this guy, I don't know why I'm crying, but I cannot stop. And thinking about it afterwards, I was thinking it felt like every tear was washing away another sin that I'd committed. And I just felt, that day, I know that day was when I walked out of darkness and I stepped into the light of Christ. I stepped into salvation. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about us as children of God, as children of light, because that's what we are now. We've stepped out of darkness and we've stepped into light. And there are so many verses in the Bible that talk about it. Now, one of them is John 8:12, and it said, again, Jesus spoke to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that's it. We have the light of life. We no longer walk in darkness. Now, when I think about conversions in the Bible, one of the main ones that always crops up is Saul, Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul made it his mission to go out and persecute the Christians. And it wasn't because he was a bad man. It was because he felt he was doing the will of God. He didn't believe Jesus was real. He didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. He knew he died on that cross. And as far as he was concerned, that was the end of it. He just made it his mission to stamp out these people who, as far as he was aware, believed that they were Christians and they were non-existent. So I'm going to read you Saul's conversion, and this is in Acts 9. It said, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' said Saul. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he didn't eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias?' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.' 'Lord,' Ananias answered, 'I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' And then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength." Now, this was a clear message to Paul. Saul, by the way, became Paul, for those of you, if there's anyone here who didn't know that. The Lord said to Saul, "I am sending you to them to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in me." Now, that was quite a dramatic conversion of Saul. He was in darkness. He knew nothing. He didn't know that Jesus was real. He didn't know he was the Son of God. He just knew he was a man who died on the cross and he was causing havoc. Okay? But there was a dramatic conversion there. And one of the things in that story that really stands out to me is the Bible tells us Saul was persecuting the Christians. But what does Jesus say when he comes down in a light? He said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" We are part of the Lord. We are the Lord's children. We are children of light. We have the Holy Spirit in us. So when we're persecuted, Jesus is being persecuted. He feels our pain because we're part and parcel. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, "But you, brothers, are not in the darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness." Now remember, God used Saul. It didn't matter what he'd done in the past. He was responsible for stoning Stephen. But God still used him. And he'll still use us. God might set us a task and we might mess up and say, yeah, but he's never going to come back and try again because I messed up. You know, it doesn't matter. Think how much Saul messed up and he used him. And just a note, but nearly half of the New Testament was written by Paul. God uses us. We are children of light. 1 Thessalonians 4:6 says, God has chosen you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit. Now, God wants to draw us closer and closer, because the closer we come to him, the closer we know his will and we'll hear his voice. And it's a soft, gentle voice. So when we're running around, we might not hear it. So we do need to just calm down and spend time with the Lord, because he does want to spend time with us. He does, because he loves us. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Proverbs 4:18 said, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the full day." Philippians 2:13, Paul said, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine as stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." The word of life, obviously, is the word of God. We're supposed to share that love that we've received from Jesus. We're supposed to shine bright for Jesus. He's shown us the salvation. He wants us to go out there and show other people that salvation, because there are so many out there who don't know. And especially at this time of year, it's Halloween. As Mary was saying earlier, there was a party next door to her till 2 a.m. in the morning. Her whole front garden next door is covered in tombstones and skulls and pumpkins. There are so many people out there who don't know the light of Christ. And we are that light. We can shine it, and we don't have to be amazing evangelists and get out there and stand on the street. If that's not you, do what is you. If you're an evangelist, go out and do that. That's great. If you're a one-to-one person, then invite someone round. Chat. Share your testimony. If you can't even do that at the moment, then pray. Pray for someone. Pray for a loved one, a colleague, a friend, a neighbour. Invite someone to church. Bake someone a cake, if that's your gift. I know, Val, you do amazing cakes. Bake a cake for somebody. Look after those without. Look after the widows and the orphans. Offer to pray for someone who needs healing. Give hope. Jesus is our hope. He is the hope and the light of the world. Matthew 10:8 says, "As you go, preach the message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So the best way to be children of light is to be ourselves. We are believers. We are saved. We are made righteous by faith. We're cleansed by his blood. And Jesus tells us he's not going to leave us alone. He sent us the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us. So we're filled with the light of Christ. So what do we have to do? We have to just shine. We just have to be ourselves. Every one of us has a gift in a certain area. We don't have to try and step into somebody else's gift, into somebody else's area. Be yourself. You have something special. Take a risk. What's the worst that can happen? They can say no, but you might have planted that little seed that gets them thinking. Joshua was told 3 times to be courageous and strong. So sometimes it does need us to be a bit more courageous than we'd like to be. It might mean stepping out of our comfort zone. Moses chose to come out of his comfort zone. He lived as a prince of Egypt, but chose to walk with his people, God's people. It's easy to believe that God does miracles, but sometimes harder to believe that he'll do it through us. But We need to get over our second place mentality, because we're not second place. We're God's first place. And the other thing is, when we're feeling weak and we think, I can't do that, God promises that in our weakness he is strength. So that's the best place to be. We should never be ashamed to show our love for people, because he showed his love to us. What he's done before, he'll do again for you and for me and through you and me. And he says that we'll do greater things. He wants to use us. The Holy Spirit is in us. He wants us to be brave and courageous. And people are desperate to hear that someone loves them. And don't worry if you mess up, because God forgives. He's very patient. The truth will set us free. By living, speaking, and sharing the good news, we give people the chance to know that they're loved too. As I said before, I'd been searching for God, but I didn't know any Christians. So I was looking around, and when I finally chatted to a Christian, and I thought, oh my gosh, what if there really is a God? And I was convicted. But there are so many people out there who want to know that there's somebody out there who loves them. There's so many people who don't even have a family, you know, and it's, they need us. They're waiting, and we could be the person that God has sent to them. They could have said, if you're real, send me someone, show me you're real, and we could be that person. But don't worry if we mess up, it's fine. Good news is to be shared. It's been given to us, but it's not a secret. We're told that a lamp belongs on a table and not under. Romans 1:16 said, we are not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. There might be someone here who may be struggling a little bit, wondering how God can love them, but he does. Doesn't matter what you've done. His son loves us so much, he died on a cross for us. And nothing that you can ever do will separate us from the love of God. And I think Pete mentioned that this morning. I think God's trying to tell us something. You know, nothing we can ever do will separate us from the love of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit is in us. When he wants us to show our love to somebody else, but without prejudice, without judgment, the same way as he showed us love, without prejudice, without judgment. We need to constantly build our faith and our courage. If you don't put fuel in a car, it's not going to move. So if we don't constantly read the Bible, spend time with the Lord, pray, be filled again and again and again with encouragement and faith, we won't be moving either. So what's the best way to get filled with the Spirit? As I said, prayer, worship, spending time in peace and quiet with God. It builds our hope and faith. Read testimonies of other people. Go and visit other people. Let them tell you their testimony. The power of the Most High is in us, and we have every reason to be filled with faith and hold our heads high and walk in confidence that God is with us and no one can stand against us. Sometimes people tell us there's something different about us. Let's not be shy in telling them what that is. We're Christians. We need to let them know he loves them too. Remember, Jesus said the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. He also said, acknowledge me before men, and I will acknowledge him. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. So truth is shining our light on a table, and it's not hiding it under where nobody can see it. There are times when we go through a desert, when things feel tough, barren. But that's the time, remember, Jesus went through the desert. And that's a time where the devil likes to throw lies at you. He likes to throw temptations at you. And he tempted Jesus. He said, you know, if you're the Son of God, turn that stone into bread. But Jesus answered him with a scripture. And he said, but man cannot live on bread alone. When we boost our knowledge, when the devil comes at us with lies and said, you'll never be saved, you've messed up again, your family won't be saved, turn around and preach what the gospel says, because the devil can't stand up to the truth and the life that is in this word of God. He can't. He has to move on to something else. And he did it with Jesus. He didn't stay on that. He didn't dispute that. He moved on to the next one. And he'll do the same with us. Just learn the word and keep throwing back the word of God. That's our armor. So it says, stand firm, because God fights our battles. The devil's already lost. He knows that, but he's still going to fight. We have accepted Jesus and are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are children of light, even if you don't feel like it. Now, there was a years ago, I went to see Don Francisco. I don't know how many of you here have ever heard of Don Francisco. Okay, Don Francisco is a singer who sings verses from the Bible. He's an amazing guy, and maybe one day we'll get some up on the projector and we'll listen to him, because he is absolutely amazing. Well, I went to see him, and there were, I don't know how big this hall was, between 500 and 1,000 people, that's all I can kind of guess at. Absolutely packed to the brim. And this guy started singing. And I looked at him, and his head was shining. You know, like you see in the church windows sometimes, and you see like a halo almost around someone's head. That's what I saw around this guy's head. And I was with my sister-in-law, and I said, wait, can you see? Can you see? And she said, what? And I said, look, his head. She said, yeah, what about it? She couldn't see. And the next person, can you see it? Can you see it? Nope, couldn't see it. And I was thinking, maybe it's the light, and I'm moving around. I'm kind of looking, you know. I think it's not a trick of the light. And he was moving across the stage, and he was moving back. This light stayed with him wherever he went, and it was amazing. And it stayed with me ever since. At the break time, we went out to get a coffee, and I met up with another friend of mine who'd been in a totally different area in the same place. And she came running up to me. She said, did you see it? Did you see it? And I said, I did. I saw it. Well, I'm going to share. I haven't been sure whether to share this or not, and I've passed it by Costas. I think the only reason this happened is to encourage us, because I'd already started writing this message. So I'm going to share this. I'm only sharing it because I really feel this is to encourage us and to confirm what I'm saying about us being children of light. A few weeks ago, I was in my house, and as I said, I'd seen this light around this guy's head. It's the only time I've ever seen it. I was standing in the bathroom, and I lifted my hands, and my hands in the mirror were surrounded by light. I pulled them down, thought that was weird, pulled them back up again, and it was still there. So I lifted the other hand, light. I'm thinking, that's weird, I've never seen that before. I'm looking at the light, looking at the window, and I'm moving around, but I didn't want to leave the mirror, if you know what I mean. So I'm kind of going like this, you know, to just check it out. I couldn't see what was happening, and I stood there for a while thinking, this is really weird. And then I kind of thought, okay, it's got to be the light. So I put my hands down, walked away, and I thought, let's just check. Put them back up, and it was still there. And I thought, at that moment, it kind of came into my head about Don Francisco, and I was thinking, that's what it means, children of light. Now, I heard a story a while back of a lady who became a Christian because she saw that light in every Christian. And she said, I want to be a Christian because I want that. They don't realize what they've got. And I think that's the only reason it happened to me. I'm not special. Believe me, we all have that light in us. And I think that was just to confirm what I'm talking about and to let us know, you know, it's real. The light of God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. We are that shining light to everybody out there, to our family, our friends, our neighbours, those we don't know. My old boss used to come into my office, and she used to get, like we all did, we were all under pressure, and she used to come in and say, can I just sit with you for a little bit? And I used to look at her and say, yeah, sure. She said, it's just so peaceful when I sit near you. Do you mind if I just sit here for a bit? No, welcome, you come on in. And I think that's what we give, but we don't realise it. We are the light to people, and we shouldn't be ashamed of sharing that. Right. That's what I was going to say. Ask for things. Ask for God to show you things. Ian was talking about words of knowledge, because words of knowledge can speak right directly into people's hearts. Yeah, you can say, you can ask, okay, give me a word. I think Ian was talking about an orange car and how that impacted on somebody who wasn't even here. And funny enough, we both had a date, but we didn't know what it was about. And then later, you know, came to light about what it was about. Okay, people get to see. What's the result of having a lamp on a table? Well, it's people get to see and feel the love of God, and they can be set free, saved, and healed. So God does want to use all of us. Have you ever said to your child, you're beautiful, you're clever, you're mine, you're special, I love you? That's what our God says to us. If we're quiet and listen, he says that every day to us. He's saying, you're beautiful, you're clever, you're mine, you're special, I love you. So hold your head up high, stand firm, because our God is for us. The Bible tells us our words won't come back to us empty. So when we pray, declare and claim. I was thinking of this and how that kind of impacts things. And there's a couple of stories that I'll share at the end. But I was thinking, if you go to a tree and you say, oh, look, that's a lovely piece of fruit. I want a piece of fruit. Unless you take it off the tree, it's not yours. We have to claim, because our words won't come back to us empty. So if you want your friend, family, neighbour saved, we have a jug somewhere that we pray for, which, you know, I was going to say later, maybe we can pray for that. Claim those people. Let's start standing solid and saying, yeah, actually, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying for you lot to do it and not me. I'm just as bad. We need to claim. We need to say, I'm claiming this person for the kingdom, because God wants them saved. God wants to claim them. When we bless, as I said before, when our words won't return to us empty, and that's what the Bible tells us. And there's a story about that I can share, which is kind of funny now, but at the time I was really miffed about it. We had someone in our lives, in our family, who, to put it in the most gentle way possible, was a real pain in the backside. She was a real nuisance, and she was, oh. So they were causing lots of problems from where we lived. And I remember complaining at God, saying, but Lord, why is she allowed to do this? We're Christians. We're stronger. What's in us is stronger than what's in the world. And I remember as clearly as anything, the Lord saying, will you bless her? I was, what? Seriously? And it was like, will you bless her? So gentle. And I was like, it took me a good while, believe me. And I said, okay, if that's your will, I bless her in the name of Jesus. Well, she did get blessed. It was the Olympics in Athens, and they had a piece of land, and the government wanted to put a motorway through that land and paid them an absolute fortune. And I complained to God. I said, God, I didn't mean that much. But our words don't return empty. What we pray, what we claim, it will happen. Our words and our prayers are powerful. So who do you want to claim today for the kingdom? Shine your light that others may know him too, because your words can change situations. Start claiming and giving thanks for what God is doing. Give thanks for our family, for their salvation, even if they're not there yet. The Bible tells us, me and my household, we will praise the Lord. Claim those words. Give thanks for the building that we're in and the one we're going to get. Give thanks for the job that we have and the ones that are planned for us. Give thanks for our health and the healings that are coming. Don't give life to negative words. Give life to your present and your future and that of your family, friends. The Holy Spirit has been sent to us. So I pray again today that he will shine to us and through us. God is able and willing to use you. So ask for favor. He wants to prosper you and not to harm you. And I'll claim that one, Lord, please. He's a good, good father. A few weeks ago, I shared the words that I had of First Edition. God is patient. He doesn't give up on us. And I just want to recap on those words, First Edition. I mentioned that a First Edition book is very, very valuable. And I think we're all First Editions because nobody has had our past. Nobody has had our present. Nobody will have our future. Nobody can write our story. So we are all First Editions. We are all valuable and special in the light of God. God will use us, each of us, in different ways. And nobody else can walk our path. Nobody else will write our story. So remember, you are special. And God is patient. He doesn't give up on us. Remember when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and he reached the Red Sea? I think it was the Red Sea, wasn't it? He reached the Red Sea. Now, they stopped there, and can you imagine the complaining? There must have been an almighty complaint. They must have all been saying, now look, what do we do now? We've got the Egyptians behind us and the sea in front. What are we going to do? Now, God put a pillar of fire behind them to delay the Egyptians. Now, I've mentioned this before, but not in this way. It got me thinking, why would he do that? And I thought, well, he could have just destroyed them there and then. But would the Israelites have moved forward? Or would they have been satisfied to stop there, thinking, well, we can't go forward, we'll just stay here? So God had something better planned. So he delayed them until their faith grew. And then when Moses said, okay, what's up, Lord? What do we do? Lift your staff and split the sea. The sea split, they all walked through, and then he let the pillar of fire go. And then the Egyptians followed and he drowned them all. But the Israelites moved on forward. But God waited for them. He waited. He was patient until they were ready to put the foot forward, split the sea, and walk through. And he's patient with you. If you feel, well, I'm not ready to do this yet, Lord, it's fine. He's patient. He's a good, good God, and he loves you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. All this from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I heard a story that I kind of thought was really cool, and it kind of emphasizes this quite a bit. And it was about a man who crashed in the desert. He was in a plane and a light aircraft, crashed into the desert, crawled out, and he's crawling for days and he's so close to death. And he eventually sees this oasis and he sees these people there and they've got water. And he gets there and he gets there and he's crawling and he gets there and he says, water, I knew God would save me. I knew it. I knew he'd give me water. I know that bit of water will save my life. I know it. And he went on and on and on. And then he dropped dead. And the point of it is, he didn't take the water. The water is there to be taken. Life is there to be taken. Light is there to be taken. But we got to take it. We can't just look at it and say, yeah, look, I believe. I believe it's there. We've got to step forward and we've got to take it. Take what's ours, what God has given us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word of God to tell us what to do. And we can pray and ask Him what to do. But we've got to step forward and take it. Ephesians 5:8 said, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Now I'm just going to say one more little story about claiming things, because we can't just believe. We've got to step out and claim. We've got to pick it up. It's like picking up a baton in a relay race. When I was younger, I went in hospital because I was told I had cysts and I had to have them removed. I got saved and I went to a meeting and I had a lot of pain in the night. I would get up in the night. I was in a lot of pain, couldn't stand up. And I went to this meeting and these American preachers said, you, you know, picked up all these people and said, right, God's going to heal you of that. And I thought, oh, you know. Well, that night when I went home, I got up and I was in the same pain. And all of a sudden I stopped and I thought, hold on, I thought I was healed. And the pain disappeared and never came back. And when I went in hospital, there was nothing there. It had gone. The point I'm trying to get through again is we can't just believe. We've got to claim it. We've got to use the Word of God and claim what we're told, because it's true. And I'll read that last verse again. Ephesians 5:8, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of light." Get your lamp, stick it on a table and shine bright, because we are children of the living God. And that's it for me.